Our scripture reading for today is found in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be doing chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, in the heavens and things on earth. In him, we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be also to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. So, how many of you, after I read that passage, was like, that's great, I got that whole thing, we could just go now. That passage made total sense to me. Yeah, that's what I thought. We seldom spend a great deal of time in the epistles of Paul, simply because a lot of the epistles of Paul are very, very wordy. And there is, Paul uses a lot of words. The disciples of Paul use a lot of words because they get very, very excited about the things that they're saying. I get occasionally accused of such a thing, that I use a lot of words and I get very excited. And sometimes we lose a sense of what it is that we were talking about from the very beginning because of all the words we are using. This is what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try and take all of the words, and I'm going to break it into 3 weeks. When Barbara goes away, I get to do a series. So I'm going to be doing a series that basically is entitled, Who Do You Think You Are? Now, when you hear the phrase, Who Do You Think You Are? How many of you was like, I think I'm pretty awesome. You know, like, yeah, a sermon series about who do you think you are? Yeah, I like this because it's going to be 3 weeks of telling me how awesome I am. Like, that's really great. Or how many of you went, who do you think you are going? Yeah, I used to hear that a lot when I was a kid. And I'm still hearing that, if I admit. When people say, who do you think you are? What are they trying to do? Yeah, they're trying to put you down. Or at least they're trying to get you back in your space. You get in line. Who do you think you are? It's one of the things that we struggle with, I think. We struggle with understanding who we are. And it's an incredible struggle I think we have as followers of Christ, understanding exactly who it is that we are. But understanding who we are will dictate how we live and move in the world. And I would think if I can put any general title to what these 3 weeks will be, it's this. That knowing yourself rightly allows you to live in the world fully. Let me say that again. That knowing yourself rightly allows you to live in the world fully. And I hope that by the end of these 3 weeks, that you will at least have a beginning sense of who we are. In fact, let me say a word of prayer before we begin. God, we thank you for teaching us. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the shelter of not only this church, but the shelter of your love. We ask that you would teach us in the next few moments what you would have to teach us today. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever seen the television show aptly titled, Who Do You Think You Are? Have you seen this? Yes. So it started in Great Britain, is moved to the United States. Who Do You Think You Are? Is a show where they take celebrities and tell them about their genealogy, tell them about their lineage, where they've come from. And by and large, celebrities come with no real idea of where it is that they come from. And they go through this process of investigating. They might go to the town where their family comes from, might go to the church that might have some records, might do some online research to find out who it is that they are. And inevitably, there's the big reveal at the end where they set that person down and say, based on all of our research, here is who you are. Of course, many of the most entertaining ones is, yes, you know who you are, wealthy celebrity, you know, actor, you know, whatever that you are. By the way, you came from, you know, Jack the Ripper, you know, or you can't, you know, and they're always like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, sorry, you come from a long line of criminals. And that's always fun to watch. But the one that always strikes me the most, there was a celebrity, his name is Danny Dyer. Who have heard of Danny Dyer? Exactly. C-list actor at best. C-list British actor that unless you're watching a show that he is on, which is typically kind of one of those BBC shows that, you know, you can find late if you watch BBC America and you're into, you know, kind of British shows, you might be able to find him. You might even not know his name. Maybe you'll recognize his face and go, oh, it's that guy. Like I said, C-list actor, kind of a pseudo bad boy in Britain. Like, you know, he's known for some unhealthy choices that he's made in his personal life and critically panned in Britain. They're just like, oh, this guy, whatever. They decided to have Danny Dyer in on this episode of Who Do You Think You Are? Well, Danny Dyer starts out and saying, well, what do you know about your family? Well, what I know about my family is that, you know, we are all dock workers. That's what we are. We are all blue-collar people, and that's my entire family. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, all of us worked on the docks and worked hard. That's the people that we are. And so they begin their investigation there. Investigation goes on, to shorten the story. They gather together in Westminster Abbey to do the reveal, which, of course, you mean. If they're gathering in Westminster Abbey, something's gotta be cool. So he starts unrolling this scroll and says, yep, here's your family. We'll start unrolling it. Get all the way back to the 10th ancestor, you know, the 11th. Like you go on all the way back and you get to the 14th ancestor. I had to write this down. The 14th ancestor is a woman named Elizabeth Seymour. Anybody know the name Seymour in British lore? Yeah, the name Seymour is important to British lore because Elizabeth Seymour's sister, Jane Seymour, just happened to be Henry VIII's third wife. That's who that is. Now, if that's impressive enough, and so Danny's like, whoa, okay, wow, like that's kind of impressive. Well, Elizabeth married the son of Thomas Cromwell. George Cromwell was her husband. And so that means that not only was Danny Dyer related to Elizabeth Seymour, but backs it up and says, you're related to Thomas Cromwell. Whoa, wow, Thomas Cromwell, though, that's a big deal. But he says, but wait, as we unroll the Seymour line, you realize the Seymour line goes all the way back 22 generations to Edward III. That you are a direct descendant, Danny Dyer, are a direct descendant of Edward III. And then starts going on and says, well, you know, and starts giving some history of Edward III, because that's part of this show, is to give a little history. Edward III, and Edward III did this, and of course, Edward III is descended from this person and this person, all the way back to the first Norman king. And you just see Danny Dyer's just looking at this paper, and Danny stops and says, I'm sorry. I didn't get any of what you just said. because I stopped listening after you said, Danny Dyer is descended from Edward III. That's all I can hear from now on, that Danny Dyer is related directly to Edward III. You know, to find out who you are makes a difference. You know, prior to that conversation, Danny Dyer was C-list actor, bad boy, screw up in Britain, critically panned. Now he realizes that he has a different lineage. Lineage is something that I want to talk about over the next 3 weeks. Again, today, I just want to set it up. The title of today's sermon is, Who Do You Think You Were? Danny didn't believe much about who he was and discovered who he is, and it made a difference. But what if they go through this whole series and Danny finds out that he is nothing special? That in fact, that he comes from a long line of dock workers so far back that the person that invented the first ship was pushed out by one of Danny Dyer's ancestors. It goes back that far. That he comes from nothing. That he really is what he thought he was. C-list actor coming from common people. And I know some of us bristle at that idea, that anybody can be nobody, right? That's part of who we are as, I think, Christian people, is that there's a centralized belief that everybody has value. Aren't we all children of God? In fact, I was having some conversations with folks that there's the word adoption that's in this passage, and some people really bristled at the idea of adoption. There's an idea of that we are begin as nobody, that we are nobody. How is that possible? Aren't we all children of God? And doesn't that make us all special? And yeah, I agree with that. In fact, when I was writing this sermon, I struggled with that a little bit. Because I do believe that everyone is on some level a child of God and valuable and meaningful, that what does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean that everyone is a child of God? I believe it means that we are all entitled to life, all entitled to equality, to joy, to love, to be able to raise a family, to be able to experience some level of justice. I don't care where we were born and what color of our skin and how we think. And like, we're all entitled to these things, our own Declaration of Independence says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created what? Equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these, anybody know? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I affirm this. That is who we get as the created by God. That every single human being must be viewed through the lens of the Creator. That as I look at somebody, no matter what they look like, on what side of whatever border, wherever they come from, I have to look at them as the loved of God. And if I don't look at them as the loved and my equal of God, then I'm looking through the wrong lens. I believe that. We must view all people like that, and we must strive for liberty and justice for all. But if everyone is so special, meaning that no one is special, then is there anything to this Christian thing? Why do we gather every Sunday morning? Why do we make the effort to sing songs? Why the effort to listen to a preacher? Why do we give our hard-earned money into the offering plate to keep the ministries of this church alive, to keep the lights on and here? Why do we pay staff? Why do we do this? Isn't there better things to do? This is what I want to go for over the next few weeks. There's a hint at the end of this passage, and this is what I want to leave with you today. At the end of this passage in verse 13, it says this, In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. This is more than common grace. This is more than we simply gather here. This is the house that we live in. This is more than just life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What this passage is saying is this isn't even about heaven. In fact, heaven is rarely mentioned in the book of Ephesians. What this is about is that we, as followers of Jesus Christ who have responded to the call that this passage says, before the foundation of the world, God saw you down the hallway of history and says, you, I want you in my family. And as we responded to that grace in faith, that God says that God gives God's self to us. That our inheritance, when he says something like, you hear the word, the Holy Spirit. What that's saying is that God, through faith, is giving us God's very DNA. That God, the word spirit is pneumas. It means spirit, it also means wind, and it means breath. And in the ancient Greek, breath, wind, all of that meant life. Because the Greeks understood breath. When you stop breathing, you are no longer alive. And so how they understood life is through breath. And that was the same word they used for spirit. It was that essence of what it means to be alive. I breathe in and breathe out. And so when the scriptures say that God is giving you God's spirit, it is saying that God is giving you God's very life. The DNA of God, the very essence of who God is, comes to take up residence inside of us as followers of Christ. And that is special and is extraordinary. And I'm not going to tell you how special that is in this sermon. That's next week. But what I want to share with you is that the journey of the Spirit of God is a journey of self-discovery. It's a journey of unpacking who you really are. And as you discover who you really are, you find that you are on this adventure with God that is filled with mission and wonder. So today's message is, if you walk away and say, what was Michael's message today? He said, we're not special. At least we weren't. But now we are. Because in God's plan for you, you have responded and find that with great privilege comes great responsibility. And we'll find out more about that next week. Amen.